Leary, Kristen Parker, Jacqueline Daly, Yudibia Badios, Ethan, and Derek. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Tarina Nadura, Tay Marie Astudio, Libby Rainey, Renee Feltz, and Dennis Moynihan. Mike DeFilippo and Miguel Nogueira are engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grand, David Prude, and Ariel Boone. Again, check out our website at democracynow.org for the full Sundance Film Festival coverage. I'm Amy Goodman from Park City, Utah.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 8 o'clock. Coming up next on Positively Revolting, host Ani Haynes celebrates the 25th anniversary of the show. At 9, it's Pacific Underground, covering issues in the Asian Pacific Islander community with host Sarah Onitsuka. At 10, it's Valley Views, the weekly forum for sharing relevant topics relating to people and places in the central Willamette Valley. This week, host Dale Holliday talks with her pal Al. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, a Radio Geekly continues the series on video games, computer games, and online gaming. All of this KBOO programming is made possible by member support. If you're not a member and you'd like to become one, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
KBOO Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 29th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, happening Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, now through Saturday, March 2nd. Most films will show at the Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, room 104 at PCC Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. Again, that's the 29th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, now through Saturday, March 2nd. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 20...
What would you have instead?
This is it.
And good morning, good morning. It is 3 minutes after 8 a.m. You are tuned to KBOO Portland, your very own community connection. I'm Ani, and this is Positively Revolting. So I'm really excited. This is a morning. I'm really excited to be with you this morning and let you know Positively Revolting turns 25, right? The first Friday of the month of February was when we got going. In 1994, that would have been February 4th, I do believe, as I recall that date emblazoned in my mind, because I was scared, right? And because I had done talk radio maybe a couple of times as another host asked me to fill in for them. This was actually a moment where I was asked to come to the fore and actually, well, do do a talk show because people were interested in what I might have to say. That first talk show I ended up doing with another woman named Melody Silver Wolf, who had approached Kathleen Stevenson, our then public affairs director, to ask about the possibility of hosting talk radio, because she was a community organizer, she was a feminist, she was a pagan, she was an environmentalist, and she thought that she could really use the airtime well to explore community organizing and community building projects. It was about the same time that I was also checking things out. I had been a morning news producer here for, 3 years at that point, and had done some late night music programs and was also in conversation with Kathleen. So she put us in touch with each other and told us that maybe we wanted to chat it out. Maybe we wanted to do a show each, alternate weeks, do a show together, see how that was. And we decided to try a show together and to see how that went. And we found out that we really liked working together. And so we decided to do that again the next week and the week after that. And somewhere in the course of the next month, we decided to make this a regular thing. And Kathleen accepted that proposal. And we came up with the name Positively Revolting as we were sitting on Melody's porch. I'm sure we were probably involved in taking in a cannabis product at the time, because I know me and Melody, and well, that's generally what we did when we planned the shows on her back porch, there in the early 90s. So that is the humble origins of Positively Revolting. 25 years ago, Melody and I co-hosted the show for 14 years, at which point we decided to let each other off the hook. We'd been experiencing some artistic differences. We had sort of grown into different focal points with what we thought was our highest priorities to talk about. So we decided that we would go ahead and alternate weeks, as we might have done 14 years earlier. And we did that for a couple years. Melody then moved on to really focus on community television. And she then moved to Spokane a few years after that, and Melody passed away in April of 2015 from a stroke. So that was the first 14 years of Positively Revolting, done with Melody. The next couple of years, Melody and I alternated weeks for a year. Melody then went on. For the next year, I alternated weeks with a different program entirely. It was called Good Sister, Bad Sister, Talkin' Mess. And that show alternated with Positively Revolting for about a year and was hosted by the brilliant, brilliant Walida Almarisha and Tri Autry. So that was a great honor, going back and forth, alternating weeks with Good Sister, Bad Sister, Talking Mess. after they gave up that program because of constraints for their schedule, I went back to hosting every week. And shortly thereafter, I asked my brilliant board operator, Lynn Mullick, to jump to the other side of the microphone. It started with an International Women's Day program. It was a program about reproductive rights and about truth-telling around abortion stories. And Lynn had a lot to say on the subject and decided that, yeah, she would try out co-hosting. She had done an interview on radio before, but she would try co-hosting a live talk show with me for International Women's Day. And we enjoyed working together so well that, again, we decided to make that a regular thing. We found somebody else to work with the sliders and the dials. And we then went on to co-host talk radio for 7 years. Now, Lynn has not been very audible on Positively Revolting for the last year. She faced some health issues. She stayed really active with the show, posting to our Facebook page. And Lynn passed away last Friday, about an hour after the show ended. This is why I brought my beloved Teresa, because I figured there'd be some parts of this morning that I'm not going to be able to talk. This might be one of them. Oh, look, and Lisa Loving is here, too.
Yes. And, Lynn can't be with us now, so we brought one of her favorite chai lattes and put it in her usual place, because we're like that, and we want to honor her passing. And it's been more than that for us. We lived in the same big house for years now, and we were honored to get the chance to actually aid in her comfort during her passing. She was able to come back from the hospital and be with her beloved fluffy orange cat, Molly. Shout out to Molly. And it is, when I say fluffy, I mean in attitude and in kinesthetics as well.
It's true.
This is all kinds
she
of fluffy
orange. She is a great
orange.
And fluffy cat.
Yes. This is an orange fluffy phenomenon. And so Lynn wanted to be with her, and we were able to facilitate that. And last week,
Lynn passed away at about 10:30 in the morning last Friday, so shortly after the show ended. We knew that that time was coming really soon. I know that up until a couple weeks before that, Lynn was still listening to the show and would let me know how things went from her new role as listener and critic, we call that. She also, I have to say, stayed really active on the Facebook page. And so you may have noticed, you Facebook users, you, that Positively Revolting's Facebook page has not been so active in the last couple of months. That is why. So now I have to actually explore taking on Facebook. There are many things that Lynn brought to the air. And so this morning, we celebrate 25 years of anarcho-feminist programming of in-your-face patriarchy-smashing radio. And we also celebrate the life of Lynn Mullock as she brought her brilliance, her wit, her humor, her warmth and compassion and humanity to the air every week in a way that, well, you know, only Lynn can. And so we invite you, dear listeners, to call in this morning with your stories, with your memories, with your questions, with your comments, with your ideas for the next 25 years. I personally am planning on sticking around for a while. We have a lot to talk about because the world is on fire, right? The show started in 94 when Clinton was the president, when we were looking at issues around sustainability, around forest issues. We were looking at police abuse. We were looking at poverty issues. And we were looking at feminism and what feminism means and the changing faces of feminism. We have always done a lot of programs on reproductive rights, on queer issues. The main issues I remember us talking about, Melody and I talking about for that first 6 months, were corporate dominance, the war on drugs, the need to legalize cannabis, police abuse, and forest issues, forest health, deforestation. And that kind of led us back into that corporate dominance. There was sort of this sort of circle and cycle that we would see. Melody and I talked about it as the octopus. And the octopus would be that the sort of the puppet master. You know, why is the world set up the way it is? It's not just coincidences. It's not just something that happened out of a natural order of things. The world is the way it is because unseen hands are moving pieces into place and profiting from it, profiting from the exploitation and misery of the masses. And so we were trying to figure out who that puppet master is. And I think the closest we have ever come, the closest understanding I have, is in fact the system of corporate dominance and global financing. So that is, you know, that led us to a lot of work on trade issues. It led us to a lot of work on the WTO. Positively Revolting was a part of the WTO protests. That would be, goodness gracious, 19 years ago. 1999, we call that.
20 years ago, just about.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, it was November. This is early in the year yet. Just over 19 years ago. So this is the platform we have used to really call the corridors of power into question, to shake our tiny fists at heaven and to feel stronger together, to create community, because we understand, you know, myself, Melody, Lynn, all pagans, understand that it is so important to build up something as we take something else down, for nature abhors a vacuum. And so that's the other part of the show. Not only could we rail against the powers that be and the wrongs of the world, but we can also try to make the world a better place. We can build community around us. And kind of to what Teresa was talking about a moment ago, with the community of our house, or of our family, we try to put that in practice in a daily kind of way. And I would say that goes for us as human beings. I would say that goes for KBOO as an organization. And hopefully that also goes for you, dear listener, in your life right now. Please call us. Join us on the air in this celebration, in this moment of huge transitions, milestones, and turning points to note. Take stock of where we're at, where we've been, and where we want to go. The number to call is 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187.
I'm going to miss Lynn's laugh. You'll be glad to know she kept her sense of humor to the end. Whenever she was fully conscious, she was likely to pull a joke when you least expected it, like I would be in her basement suite with her, just tending to her, and I'd say, well, I gotta go, and she'll say, I'll be here, because she couldn't get up. So,
and then there would be that giggle.
Yep.
Yeah. That special humor of being able, you know, we've often talked about the importance of callous humor, right? That if we couldn't joke in the very most challenging of times, what good is there in life, right? To always find a way to laugh, to always find a way to love. These are the things that I think really make life meaningful. 503-231-8187, the number to call. I also want to remind you that you can, in fact, follow along throughout the week in the Twitterverse and on Facebook.
I want to honor her.
In the Twitterverse, you can find us at Positive Revolt. On Facebook, we are Positively Revolting. Yeah, Teresa?
I wanted to honor her astrological prowess, actually by quoting Nancy Summers, StarlightNews.com, talking about, in this case, Trump and the way he's acting and the way people are acting. She writes, the significant tension in the struggle over societal wealth, equitable taxation, and how actual power is distributed is coming to a head during the passage of Pluto in Capricorn, roughly from 2008 through 2024. The last time Pluto was in Capricorn was at the time when the American colonies could no longer tolerate the oppression of their overlords and declared war on the British, resulting in a power struggle of epic proportions. And it goes on in that vein. I just, I thought of her when I read that.
Yeah. It's so, again, in looking over the years, I was just wanting to sort of get a baseline of what has happened in 25 years. Every now and again, it blows my mind that I've been hosting talk radio for that long. That in that, like I said, the early days, we were looking at issues around, oh goodness, there was the issues of the Clinton administration.
I feel your pain.
There was the issue of the anti-terrorism, the omnibus anti-terrorism crime bill, an effective death penalty act.
Yeah, that was a nasty one.
There was the issue of media mergers under his Telecommunications Act, which really sped up the homogenization of the media landscape and the corporate dominance thereof.
Destroyed Glass-Steagall and set up the financial collapse.
And so there was all of these things happening. Again, also with the environment, we looked at, by the time we were into the later mid-90s, there was also a lot of controversy around, of course, environmental activists and labor activists. It was a manufactured conflict. We were fortunate enough to interview Judy Berry on this program a number of times in the 90s. And Judy and I and Melody became friends and kind of, you know, we stayed in pretty close touch until Judy's death. And the, you know, when I say manufactured, I mean it is, of course, beneficial to the elite, to the rulers, to keep people separate. When we unite, we become more powerful. And that is, again, an ongoing theme, I think, for Positively Revolting. When we unite, we become more powerful. So when we create solidarity, it is, in fact, an act of power and importance. So when we are able to see the lies that keep us divided and expose them for what they are, that's an important act. And that's one of the things that Judy Berry did in looking at the fact in educating about everyone being screwed over by the same power system. That the workers were being screwed over, that their pensions were being raided, and that the people doing it were the same people that were devastating the environment. That it was not the workers to be blamed for needing to actually support their families. It was the corporate overlords that had to be held accountable for exploiting the earth in such an unsustainable manner and exploiting the workers as well. And that was a super, super important message that we were happy to be a part of, and that we saw, of course, go on at the WTO as, you know, the headlines of Teamsters and Turtles together at last. Well, they had been coming together for quite some time. It had been a conversation that was super dynamic that happened at the Environmental Law Conference in Eugene, that happened at several large Earth First gatherings, that happened in many other venues like Positively Revolting Talk Radio here up in Portland.
Stirring up trouble.
And that's sort of what it's all about, isn't it, Teresa? The other reason I asked Teresa to be here is she is the other constant for the show. Teresa had already been a producer here at KABU for a number of years. And when Melody and I began Positively Revolting, every now and again, we would reach into the store of knowledge that is Teresa in Presswatch. And we would say, hey, do you want to come in and add to the show? We're looking at this international issue, and your analysis could be really important. And so we would invite her on. And how'd that work for you, Therese?
Well, I'm flattered to be here, as usual.
Awesome. And it's a community, right? It's a living, vibrant community. And that's what we make together. 503-231-8187. Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts. What were you doing in 1994? I've talked to listeners that weren't born yet in 1994, and that feels kind of odd to me. Honestly, it's cool, but it just feels a little bit weird. I know that for myself, I was 27, right? So I kind of grew up on air because God knows I have matured in my views on a number of things. And I hope that's true for everyone, right? Over the course of 25 years, one hopes one grows and learns new things and changes. But it's an interesting thing to grow up on the air and to have that experience of listening to perhaps a younger version of yourself saying something that now you cringe over. But we'll never be able to share that with the general public because the first 10 years of our archives were lost in a basement flood. So there's that. No one else can know how stupid I was when we started. Okay, I wasn't stupid. I had a couple of views that maybe were not well thought out. And actually doing live talk radio and having listeners let me say, point out how well not thought out they were, gave me some time to consider that I might need to think more.
Cassette tapes don't always last that long anyway.
Well, especially not when they're exposed to water.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's okay. We will have brilliant archives of the future, yes. I remember actually in one of the things that I will openly admit to growing around is circumcision for men. In my initial years on talk radio, could not fathom what the big deal was. Came out of a tradition of healthcare work, and know some statistics about reproductive health, and certainly it seemed like male circumcision, in light of those statistics, was a great idea. I have since rethought that perhaps an act of violence the first day that you're alive on the planet associated with your reproductive organs is probably not the best idea for your psyche. All right, I admit it. I was totally wrong on that point.
It's just genital mutilation.
It is, and I understand that now. But that would be the one, actually, that's the one area that I actually remember arguing about on the air and then going home and talking to people and thinking it over and thinking, I was totally wrong. I was totally wrong on the air. It took me a couple of months probably to come around to get that. But yeah, that's the joy of growing up in public. So let's go ahead and talk to Becky. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning. When I called in, I hadn't been thinking about the topic of circumcision, but now you made me think.
That's what happens, right?
Why I love Positively Revolting all these years, and I'm just thanking you both so much for all of the memories you're bringing back to me, and especially of Lynn. I moved back to Portland in the summer of 1994 and started listening to KBOO, just kind of isolated as a new mom in a house. And I thought you and Melody had been around forever. Listening to you, I didn't know that it was still a fairly new program.
Yeah.
And it really brought me in to the whole KBOO, to the rest of the programming, I think, was the Friday morning.
Oh.
And it's thinking about Lynn and her being there and then being gone and then remembering Melody. It's sad. But so my question to you guys, before the circumcision thing came to my head, but my question was, about the witchcraft and the tarot readings, mm-hmm. and the astrology. And what I've been thinking about a lot is sort of angels and life after death, and I think that's a transition that I've gone through from being completely like, of course, none of that is true. Like, of course, when you die, you're just dead. And sort of like liking astrology, but thinking, of course, it's just a foolish thing, that I do like a quiz in a magazine. It's not anything real. And now, I don't know if it's just being older over these years and knowing people who are dead, compared to when I was younger, I didn't really know that many.
Uh-huh.
But I'm really feeling that in order to fix all these horrible problems in our world, we can't just rely on politics, but we have to have some spirituality. And,
yeah.
And to me now, spirituality is starting to mean more than just yoga and meditation for myself, but connecting to some bigger world out there. And so that's something I think that Positively Revolting has given to me, but I'm not sure if Lynn are like more just kind of this life. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's the question for me.
Well, and I'm really glad you brought that up, because the other turning point, of course, for today is the fact that we're at Imbolc. This is one of the mm-hmm. the eight holidays of the pagan, the Neo-Celtic pagan year. This is the holiday of initiation. And that seemed perfectly appropriate as we mark Lynn's transition, as we mark the show's 25th anniversary, and we think about initiations, and we think about the beginnings, because everything is a cycle, right? There is no timeline with one arrow just pointing off into infinity. Everything is a cycle. And so I absolutely believe that consciousness persists. I absolutely believe that. I have had experiences with spirits, with those that have passed on, with whatever, since I was a kid. And that is a very firm belief. Melody and I actually had that in our heads as we started the show, that it was not enough to just talk about politics. It was not enough, because there were plenty of shows that did that. It was not enough to just have good ideas about community organizing, because again, there were plenty of shows that did that. We wanted to mix care for the spirit. We wanted to mix care for the psyche and politics and community building all together, because they seemed like so many times there is a spiritual thirst, right? And it doesn't have to be any particular spiritual path. It's just there's a lot of folks that just seem a little hungry for that deeper connection to soul, to the universe, to deity, however you know deity by. And we both were experienced in our circles in being clergy, basically. And we decided to add that measure into the program as well.
Well, I've felt it.
Thanks very much for your call, Becky. Mm-hmm. Take care. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And I want to remind folks, coming up at 9 o'clock, it'll be Pacific Underground. They will be covering issues in the Asian Pacific Islander communities, and the host is Sarah Onitsuka. At 10, Valley Views, the weekly forum for people for sharing relevant topics relating to people and places in the central Willamette Valley. This week, host Dale Holliday talks with her pal, Al. At 10:15, listen to Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, a Radio Geekly comes back onto the air with a continuation on the series of video games, computer games, and online gaming. All of these programs are made possible by your support. Please do become a member today. Support KBOO. Support your independent community radio station. And you can do that quickly and easily by going to kboo.fm and hitting the donate button. Let's go ahead and take another caller. Good morning, Barth. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm sorry that this is a sad situation for you and for the greater public. Reminiscent-wise, this has been a very positive situation for me. I am an occasional listener. Obviously, I call probably too often, but Lynn was a great person. I can know her on the radio because I've never met her, but you know, you guys have brought a bunch of stuff forward that is reverberating still here in this area and in the wider world. You know, people are, by being informed, are brought forward, and by participating in conversations and having intimate thoughts expressed clearly, are enriched and enlightened. You know, and not everything is perfect, not everything is always clear, not everything is to one's taste that you hear on KBOO.
True.
But all of it is useful, and all of it is, I would say, positive in the greater scheme of things. And a quarter century is a milestone for anything.
Yeah.
And I hope that you can find it within you to continue and perhaps find another co-host and aid to help and to shape the messages that you're putting out to the rest of us.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
I also, the fact that it is in bulk and it is a transition, it is a it's a fire festival. It's a lot of positivity.
Yep.
And a lot of thinking about one's place in the cycle of things, as you described, and using that to ground yourself as you go forward into life, you know, next minute, next hour, next month, next year, that those things will repeat, but you can grow with them as they happen. Thanks for making that useful and helpful to me and to others, and for bringing an alt spirituality out into the open and making it more part of life. There's lots of views on how the world should be. We're happy to have yours shared.
Barr, thank you so much for your words.
Carry on.
Thank you.
Bye.
503-231-8187, the number to call. Yeah, weaving in the spiritual practice, weaving in the philosophy as well as the analysis, you know, looking both at the world that must be torn down, the systems that must be raised to the ground, as well as the new world that is already, you know, breathing and needing to be brought into being, that is there at the edges, at the margins, that we are creating together even as we speak. That has been part of the back and forth of the show, but also that the other axis between philosophy and spirit and hardcore analysis, right? Pulling both of those directions as well. And I love that Lynn really was deeply rooted in philosophy. She really hungered for the why and the what makes it so? How do these dynamics add up to this in a you know, and how do we fix it? How do we heal it? She it's her connection with philosophy that brought in the dimension of Michael Mead as a regular guest to our program, as she was a big admirer of his work. And so there is a much deeper sort of philosophical bend towards the show, thanks to Lynn's contributions and presence.
It was always it was an eye-opener for me, or maybe it's an ear-opener, to hear Michael Mead and his compassionate philosophy. Deep compassionate philosophy, you know, something that you came away from and thought, all these things apply.
Mm-hmm.
How can my life be different after hearing this? Quite inspiring.
Let's go ahead and take another caller. Good morning. You are on the air, Elizabeth.
Good morning. So many blessings to you and congratulations on your 25 years.
Thank you.
I am thrilled that you opened up the phone lines and asked for people to share something from 1994. I wanted to share a story regarding you and Ms. Silver Wolf. On your show, you opened up the phone lines, and we're talking about the soul and what happens after someone passes away, and are we really there, and what happens. And I was lucky enough, you took my call. I was in the preparatory room at Portland Memorial Funeral Home, and I was able to tell you that I was standing amongst loved ones, and I could see and give you a firsthand account that those people are no longer there. There's someplace magical and glorious and beautiful, and I'm not sure if we all know what the name of what that is, but really happy to be able to share that with listeners, because I think we all don't open ourselves to the possibility of that's the case.
Yeah. Wow. That is something. Thank you, Elizabeth, for calling back in with that memory.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Take good care. 503-231-8187. There are so many full circles. It's kind of incredible. Let's talk to Harry. Good morning, Harry. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking my call. My condolences to KBOO and everyone for the loss of Lynn. The question is, what year was Lynn born?
51.
Yep.
1951?
Yeah.
Okay. And I never got a chance to meet Lynn. I did meet you and Lisa Loving at the KBOO birthday party. At the Oregon Historical Society.
Right. Last January, a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I thought it was in August, wasn't it?
We had a street party here in August or a birthday party down there. And, well, there was also a birthday party in June. We had a lot of birthday parties last year.
Yeah, the one with when everyone bought their cakes.
Oh, that was June.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, so I've been listening to KBOO since I was a teenager, the early 70s. And of course, in the 90s, that's when talk radio and talk TV was very, very popular. And right now, on the radio here in Portland, the only talk radio right now I can think of is KBOO, and I hate to say it, KEX, Rush Limbaugh.
Yep, there's still some right-wing talk out there.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's so exciting that KBOO is still doing talk radio 5 days a week, actually 6 days a week. But my condolences to the loss of Lynn. Even though I've listened to your program for quite some time, and sometimes we have to agree to disagree on stuff, but
sure.
I've learned so much from your show, and to be more tolerant. You know, I know you consider yourself a pagan, and I grew up a Catholic. So, but you know, I'm more tolerant now, just listening to your shows. And also, I used to listen to your show because what you used to do about the forestry, I learned so much about what's going on and how they're chopping down trees, especially it was several years ago when they removed a lot of trees from Mount Hood. And back then I could see, I took a trip up to Mount Hood and I saw the clear cutting. It was unbelievable. I mean, just... Yeah. And I got all that from you guys.
Well, that's amazing. Thank you so much for calling and letting us know that, Harry.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much.
Take good care. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. You know, this is, I got to say, it's a weird, kind of wonderful moment. Because I come into the studio every Friday morning. And with very few exceptions over the last 25 years. And I never know who's out there, really. I never really know who's listening. So to hear that people have learned about specific issues over the years because I volunteered to do this, I can't tell you how meaningful that is to me. It's precious. And
radio's such a... interesting means of communication. Is so different from the internet. I mean, we get out here, we do our work, we try to educate, and people are listening in their cars, are listening in their homes or offices, and we don't get that immediate feedback unless we, you know, set up an internet way to do it, or someone calls us or something, and then you find out years later that something you said, some research that you did, really hit home, and it's so encouraging. But sometimes you don't find out for a long time.
Like this morning. Awesome. 503-231-8187. The number to call. There is actually a little 25th anniversary party because my dear friend and my dear friend, Lisa Loving, friend of all, has made a little cake and brought sparklies in. So if you come in right now, you can have a little piece of cake. Otherwise, I'm eating it all by 9:10. but it's a wonderful thing to be a part of this community, to be a part of this community of the airwaves for a quarter of a century. There are very, very real, very long-lasting relationships that have been built up over the years. Some of the people I've met, some of them I actually still haven't, and that's also kind of fascinating to me. Let's go ahead and talk to Joseph. Good morning, Joseph. You're on the air.
Good morning. I would just want to say that I appreciate both of you very much for both what you contribute. I've been a member since 2000, and I feel like I'm part of a secret society that I wish. But I want to say to you, I think, is it Annie? I can't remember.
Yeah, Annie.
Yeah, Annie. That's right. I really appreciate, I was driving along, and I heard you say you came from a medical background, and used to think that circumcision wasn't such a big deal, and neither did I. I had been working with babies for a long time, and one day I happened to read about genital mutilation of females, and I dove into that, and I started contributing to organizations that fight that and fight for the rights of women, and then I discovered that I wanted to see what's going on with circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked into that. I found out Canada's view on it, how barbaric it was, and that it wasn't a choice. It's something somebody could do later when they're older with all the right kind of anesthesia. It's perfectly fine. There's a choice. So thanks for bringing this up. I really do appreciate it. I only wish that healthcare workers that do this daily would actually look at the other side of things. So you guys are the best. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much. 503-231-8187. We have about another 10 minutes of show, and we encourage you to call in with your thoughts, with your memories, also with your hopes for the next, 25 years and beyond. I think that it's important to, be real. And that's one of the threads I'm picking up on this morning. And that is being real even when you're making mistakes, right? Like, I have opinions, and I know that if I actually am being honest with myself, those opinions could change. I might take in more information, right? I might learn and be able to grow. And I think it's important to allow ourselves to do that. So many times I see people kind of ossify. Like, nah, this is my idea. I've had it for years. It's too hard to have an open mind. It means I would have to admit I was wrong.
I was just thinking of something Melody used to do in the 90s, and I would sing along with her, and it was like, insert name of appropriated goddess here, loves the little children, all the children of the world, boiled and roasted, baked and fried with some french fries on the side, referring to the recycling nature of nature.
Yeah. It's true, right?
Yeah, we wouldn't say that now, though, because it's kind of a ripoff of a culture
that we
don't.
Well, it would be culturally appropriating, and that would be bad. And again, so we grow and we change. Although the humor of looking at how, in fact, nature recycles is something that I would want to hang on to from that, right?
Yeah, and I remember Melody's laughter, too. It was, I can almost do his laugh, but not quite. She would flip her hair when she was truly pleased about something.
Yeah, she had like some +3 hair flipping power.
Yeah.
you nerds in the audience will get that.
Oh, D&D reference.
It's one of those things. 503-231-8187, the number to call.
Something you may not know about Ani is that she's been playing D&D off and on for,
40 years. It's true. What, true confessions moment? What don't they know about you? I think it is important, as you say, Teresa, to grow in public, to actually admit and come forward that we've had opinions that have changed. I think that is a huge lesson that we can share with each other. And I can only hope that we all can learn from each other and grow and develop as human beings and develop as caretakers for this brilliant place called Earth, right?
Well, one thing that hasn't changed, though, when I think about it, is you support and I support a woman's right to choose whether she should come to term with her abortion. I mean, with her pregnancy.
Like, wait, go back and rephrase that.
Abortion rights.
Yeah, reproductive rights is one of the things that we
do some jumping jacks for a second here.
You'll wake up soon. I thank you for coming with me this morning. And actually, again, women's right to have sovereignty over her body, her sexuality. We've had many programs around slut shaming and why that should never happen. We've had many shows around smashing the patriarchy, and that is something that I think has been a hallmark of Positively Revolting since its inception in 94. Let's go ahead and talk to Ron. Good morning, Ron. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ani. Long time no talk to you. My heart goes out to you because I know Lynn was close to you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate you having been on the air for 25 years. And I'm sure we've all gained from that experience. And Teresa's too, even though it's not her 25th.
She's been on longer. It's true.
I just wanted you to know that.
Ron, thank you so very much.
Yes.
Really appreciate.
Sure.
Wondering where we go now, right? So we have, and this is the thing, man. This is the thing. I was talking to a friend about this just a couple days ago. It's like, the world's on fire. Oh my God. This is super, super intense. This time that we are living in and moving through is super intense. What are we going to do? We need each other, right? When we started this show in 94, we were like, dang, things are pretty messed up, right? We've got serious deforestation issues. We've got serious issues around around sexism and the patriarchy. We've got serious issues around mass incarceration. That was something we talked about quite a lot as we were looking at breaking records for the most incarcerated people on the planet as a country.
There was even talk of things kept going this way, it might affect the climate.
Yep. Yep, there is even that.
And today we've got a polar inversion that has thrown deadly cold over a huge part of the United States and Canada, and people are dying. I read about a college student who was just going between classes in dorm room and froze to death.
Wow.
Negative 26.
Yeah, I can't fathom negative 26. Yeah. And so we know, I mean, we spoke with Dar Jamal, you know, just 2 weeks ago around the fact that we are living in a very perilous time where, in fact, things are in a state of change. There is no denying that, right? That we have very little time to mitigate the harm being done to the planet before, in fact, I don't know, right? We are kind of looking at a truly apocalyptic crisis. So what do we do, and how do we come together as community? How do we hold each other? How do we support each other and support each other's work? Because this is really going to take everyone. Not only the planetary, right, the climate, not only the environmental, but the humanitarian crisis, the horrors that are being perpetrated against the people in marginalized communities, the racism that is murderous, the homophobia and transphobia, which is murderous, the patriarchy and the violence against women. How are we going to address these things so that we can talk about this as sort of a transitional time into that world we want to create together? And that is really something to ponder, right? As we mark where we've gone to in 25 years, where are we going? And how do we get there? How do we practice solidarity? How do we learn to overcome some differences in ideologies, to actually roll up our sleeves and work together to stop the fascist dumpster fire that is currently going on in this country?
How you say?
How? How, Teresa?
I can think of a... I've got this wacky idea. It's like, what if we had this place where we could get together and actually do a live sort of broadcast that wouldn't even depend on the internet. And you could just pick it up with these simple devices with 20th century technology, just anywhere in a huge area. And it could be, you know, like happening that second, and you could like pick up your phone and call in. Oh, wait a minute.
I think we got that.
I think we've hooray for community radio, and hooray for all of you who support community radio with your donations. That's how we do it, and that's why we brush off the government when they cut their funding. that's how we have stayed on the air for these 50 years. You can contribute right now at kbo.fm.
It's true. And Positively Revolting has been there for half of KBOO's life.
Wow.
Check that out.
Wow.
It's kind of impressive. You know, KBOO started when I was two. So it's been here for most of my life. It's 503. I'm going to give out that number one more time because we got 4 minutes left and we can squeeze somebody else in if you'd like to. 503-231-8187. The number to call if you would like to voice your memory, your comment, your opinion, your thoughts and hopes for the next 25 years. One of the things, again, that Melody and I really tried to do a lot, many, many, many conversations in Melody's kitchen with a... I think they call them pre-rolls in these legalized days. 24 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, not so legal. And they weren't called pre-rolls. But we had one of them in one hand, and we had a buttered corn toast from Grand Central in the other hand. And we would sit there and solve the problems of the world every Wednesday night, coming up with what we were going to talk about on Positively Revolting the next Friday. Because we wanted to try to get to it, right? And we didn't have the internet, right? In 1994, the internet was not ubiquitous.
Y'all were trouble. I remember y'all sitting on the porch in the summer, taking your tops off just to make a point.
That happened twice. Hey, why is this?
It made an impression, all right?
Okay, well, apparently. I can't tell you how many people. I remember you and Melody running around topless. I'm like, twice. But, one of the things we were doing, smoking that weed and eating that toast, was trying to figure out what was sort of the little block of wood that would make the whole tower fall over when you pressed on it, right? How do we bring the system down in one? What was the most important thing to focus on? And what we actually found was that there was no one thing. It maybe corporate dominance kind of came the closest.
Yeah, that vulnerable spot in the dragon that you can hit with that one lucky arrow.
A million to one shot that works 9 out of 10 times. Let's go ahead and talk to Stevie Ray. Good morning, Stevie Ray. You will be the last caller.
Okay, so I count on KBOO for my information 99% of the time. I found a source yesterday that I haven't heard KBOO cover, and I absolutely called as soon as I woke up this morning and turned the radio on. So in 2015, they tried to pass some kind of legislation here in Oregon that they're going to have nurses and stuff come into people's homes and, like, monitor their babies. It's all related to vaccinations. They are trying to push it again here in 2019. They're trying to make it so that when you got a newborn, they're forcing you to get your immunizations in the hospital, and then they're going to force you to allow a stranger, a nurse, a well care visit. It's like one step away from CPS just signing the birth certificate as a freaking parent. And I wanted to bring it up on KBOO because I love you and respect you, and we need each other.
Yeah.
And this is a big deal. This is nanny state.
All right. I will look into that. I don't know.
I really don't know
about it. Thanks very much, Stevie Ray, for calling in this morning.
I'm glad the vaccine thing has come up. I think it impinges on that.
We got 1 minute.
This will be quick.
Okay.
I've been thinking about that. Now, I'm very cynical about corporations, and I know that some corporations have historically been sloppy with the production of vaccines. I certainly believe in vaccines. I also see that sometimes many, many vaccines are given to babies who, after all, have a rather developed immune system, and I would suggest that this be done carefully, but by all means, you should get your vaccines. Maybe you need an antihistamine for your baby just in case of a cytokine.
So this is
reaction.
Again that time that we are out of now.
Yep.
And more it's so typical for a complete turn there at the end of the show. So we are out of time. We thank you for listening. We thank you for engaging. We thank you for community building. We thank you for your outrage for these last 25 years. We continue to press on. I'll be back next week. We love you, Lynn. We love you. We wish you well. We love you all. See you next week.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Musicians in Mexico City on Wednesday, February 6th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Musicians in Mexico City is a night of experimental music hosted by Buenas Intenciones. The event features guitar improvisation and abstract versions of traditional American and Mexican songs. There will also be a talk by editors of Músicos en la Ciudad de México. Again, that's Musicians in Mexico City on Wednesday, February 6th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 29th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from Friday, February 1st through Saturday, March 2nd. The Cascade Festival of African Films represent different countries and cultures and a range of lifestyles from pre-colonial to modern times, including both rural and urban settings. Films include Razzia, a film from Morocco, and more at the Hollywood Theater, and Wale from Burkina Faso, Fig Tree from Ethiopia, shorts from emerging African filmmakers, and many more at the Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, Room 104, at the PCC Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. Again, that's the 29th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from Friday, February 1st through Saturday, March 2nd. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And this is KBOO Portland. It is 9:01 a.m., and that means it's time for Pacific Underground, covering issues in the Asian Pacific Islander communities with host Sarah Onitsuka. And we'll follow that with Valley Views at 10 and round out the hour with Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And we'll fill out the morning with a Radio Geekly at 11.